Yo.
Hey, I'm Emily Chenevere, CEO of the Austin Board of Realtors. Real estate is changing. Disruptors are flipping the script before most of us have even had our morning coffee. So we're taking it to the experts to peel back the layers on what you need to know. Scratch what you think you know about this business and listen up for a new version of an old industry. Here's one for you, team. Who knew that NAR has an MLS policy committee? I've got extra credit, too. Who knew the policies that they make are pushed down to local MLSs as mandated policies if you want to maintain the E&O insurance NAR provides as part of the relationship that they hold with local associations and MLSs? Sam DeBoard knew it. He's the NAR president's liaison for MLS and data management, and he agreed to share more about why NAR is all up in our MLS business. Here's what Sam had to say about the importance of NAR's MLS policy decisions and how they impact you directly. More importantly, how you could be more involved in making them. Sam, why does NAR belong in the business of creating MLS policies?
Well, I think that we know there's a lot of good things that MLSs do on their own already. There's lots, a lot of great policy, technology, things that brokers have formed in their local marketplaces where they've formed broker cooperatives that work really well. But there's also a lot in terms of policy that's been created, especially in terms of technology over the past decade or so at least, where brokers are looking for more standardization across the country as a lot of brokerages expand or even move. Folks who know how the processes work in one marketplace want to have some sort of certainty when they come into a new marketplace to know how things are going to work, to know sort of the laws of the land. So we see sort of a baseline of things that brokers ask for. And these aren't things that NAR comes in and says, this is a good idea. These are things that brokers come to NAR for and say, we need help. We need you to help us facilitate and collaborate with multiple marketplaces so we can at least get our foundation very standardized and know what to expect when we want data or we want to work with NMLS. And then we can go back to local situations where there's some differences and allow for that sort of flexibility as well. But there's no other real unifying body that can pass policy where it's a necessity. We've got great organizations like CMLS who do best practices, which is usually the first order. If everybody goes by best practices, that's great. But sometimes there's really a need for a minimum standard as well.
But when I think about the core competency of the association, technology is not necessarily what I think of. Why is NAR the ringleader on bringing together the industry when there's a broker need like you talked about?
So you're right. Technology is not the first priority of an association or an MLS, but it's a necessary part of what an MLS does right now. And again, it's really about what the brokers are asking for. So it's not NAR unilaterally saying we need to come in and do technology policy. Bob Goldberg's whole philosophy of not invented here. We don't want to need to build the tools and the technology. But we can certainly say we've got organizations like RESO who provided standards to the industry. We've got CMLS best practices. And we've got all of these organizations in CMLS doing case studies and white papers on what's best for the industry. And if we have areas or geographies where that hasn't gotten to them yet, or they just haven't had the resources yet to implement those sort of things, it's incumbent on NAR to provide for all of its members, that they all have a similar baseline of service. Otherwise, even charging dues to these folks in an area where they're not getting that baseline of service just doesn't make sense. So I think NAR is doing more and more in the role of facilitating broker conversations with MLS heads, where really you can get past a lot of the arguments and a lot of the issues if you get a lot of these folks in the same room.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to continue to be a role for NAR.
What do you feel like is most important in 2019 that we tackle on the front of MLS policy at NAR? What are brokers asking for right now?
So some of the most basics are RESO standards. So data dictionary certified, which just means that you've got an organized database that other companies can read. If your MLS database of listings can't be read by your vendors and can't be read by a broker in another state or another area who's moving in, you need to get that back end of your system cleaned up. And most MLSs have done that and can do that, but some either just haven't gotten around to it because of priorities, and some just don't have the resources. And that's something we will continually have to address when you've got a broker who's a part-time administrator for the MLS because that's all of the staffing that's available to that MLS. You know, can that person really support members to a reasonable level? Do they have the knowledge and feedback to do that? And do they actually just have vendors who are acting as the MLS administrator. They don't know the business rules or how the technology works all the time, and the vendor's actually acting as MLS head in these cases where the technology folks are making these decisions for the MLS and the association members.
So NAR's response to that kind of issue of minimum standards or minimum expectations on the association side was core standards, things that associations have to do to exist and to fulfill the requirements of their charter to their membership. What are we doing on the MLS side to be sure that those little bitty MLSs with staff that are maybe not as competent as the professionals in larger organizations are meeting the needs of their brokers?
Well, I think that's a great question. We talk about it every year. Is there a need for implementing more core standards about MLS duties, about minimum standards there?
Or is it a new set? Because the core standards are association specific and MLSs are not associations.
Yes, absolutely correct. The difficult part is a lot of folks who run MLSs also do that because it is the support for their association. It is the primary support. And so it feels like a part of the association in the way that it's run. So could you have a separate set of core standards? Yes. Would we have a lot of pushback from MLSs? Yes, we would. And so that's something we have to weigh every year at NAR, and we do. It's a primary component of every meeting of the MLS Technology and Emerging Issues Advisory Board, the longest committee name in real estate. We tackle that every
time. At least
it's
not an acronym.
True. We could shorten it a little bit. We tackle that every single issue that we get from a broker. Is this our role? Is this something we should do? What will be the MLS pushback? Is this a minimum standard to move the industry forward, or is this something we would like, but NAR pushing into this area is too much in terms of policy? I think we're seeing, with all of the different data initiatives we see in the industry, whether it's upstream or any of the data aggregation systems, your Trestle and Spark, Bridge, everybody who's doing translation, folks who are providing web API access for MLSs, everybody knows we need to get to this point. And at a certain point, we're going to find that those who can't get there in a certain period of time need to be helped along or need to be pushed into a partnership to get there. Mm-hmm. And there's times when autonomy and local control have to accede to the fact that you can't keep up with the standard. Now, it's not really big or small. There are some small MLSs that are really, really run well, and they're up with technology, and they've got great staffing resources. But in general, we know that larger organizations have more efficiency and can bring better products at better prices to their members. So we'll always walk that fine line. We want more broker feedback, but it increasingly, we're hearing brokers ask us for very clear standard access to data.
We did an earlier episode where we talked about RETs being the equivalent of speaking Greek in today's world. It's just, it's ineptitude that we tolerate as an industry because we're unwilling to make change because it might be a little uncomfortable.
It is. And it's not free to make these changes. The vendors have a good point that they've got systems that work right now. And in a lot of cases, they're...
Because we allow them to work.
Well, okay. I'm going to take the high road on this with the easy answer, but they do work right now. And if there's not something that's dramatically better that's being presented to them or asked for by their brokers, really, because the vendors and the MLS is really the brokers are their customers. So if the brokers aren't asking for it, it's difficult to say vendors go in and invest this development money into changing your systems and how you're delivering data to potentially deliver exactly the same data.
Right.
So, I mean, we could get down into the weeds on, you know, why MLSs would prefer vendors to not just, maybe there's some cases they don't want to replicate like they did on RETs. Maybe there's a different system. They can still replicate on the API. But we have to present a really clear business case for that to get the vendors to be incentivized by their brokers to make those sort of changes. And then at a certain point, we will have to say, there's a timeline for those who just can't do it because of resources, can't make the transition. Then how do we partner you up with someone who can allow you to do that?
So if I'm a small independent broker, there are many of those in Austin, Texas. What's the best way to communicate back to NAR where my interests are? Is it through my association? Is it directly to somebody engaged in leadership?
I think it's always through your local first.
Yeah.
I think you need to see if the leadership there is interested in hearing what your issues are, what your needs are. And I think great local boards can do that and can deliver that, whether it's to the state level, to NAR, to the MLS. We certainly find people who don't view their local board as being responsive or being interested. And we'd certainly find people who feel their local board is more interested in protecting the local territory than expanding opportunities. And those are the places where we really need that sort of feedback to get to NAR. Mm-hmm. Because as much as our local associations and MLSs are great for our communities and our marketplaces, They're supposed to be there to expand their brokers' opportunities and really to expand the local marketplace by inviting more brokers and clients and customers in to make the MLS more valuable. So when technology and the MLS are being used to protect a territory, that's where it really gets problematic, and sometimes it has to go up the chain to NAR or CMLS or someone like RESO to be able to say that there's minimum things we need to grant in terms of data quality and access.
Yeah.
And that's most of our requests right now are access to data.
When I think about, you know, the places where the kerfuffles happen, where things are broken down, a lot of what happens is the system by its nature is difficult to navigate for a broker who's not directly engaged in their association or doesn't really understand governance structure. It can be daunting to get engaged to the extent that you're suggesting that they do. But give them one last piece of advice about how to get involved and how to make a change.
Well, the tough part first, because you're absolutely right. This is where a lot of the turmoil between brokers and MLSs comes from, is because there's not a quick, easy answer. You can't simply get to the answers and say, we want to vote on this tomorrow.
Right.
So there are some issues with the way, you know, governance is set up in MLSs and associations that doesn't allow for either turnover or for new ideas or new technology to come forward for brokers quickly. And there's obviously, we talked about protectionism in some cases, which is also something that holds them back. So getting involved, I think if nothing else, you're finding the decision makers within your local and you're getting in touch with them. You are talking to folks who, whether it's MLS policy at NAR, whether it's CMLS or best practices, because it may just be that your folks need more information and more education about the products that are there, whether it's RESO for certification, and again, more education on why brokers need this, that it's not an NAR mandate for NAR's sake.
Yeah.
It's an NAR mandate so that brokers get the tools they need. And then if you're moving up that chain through your local and your state and your national, you've got a lot of different folks to talk to and sort of find out where the differences of opinion are. But there's not an easy answer except doing the work.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's why a lot of times we have shouting matches instead of taking the long-term work approach, which is collaborating to get to the answers we need.
Yeah, collaboration is not easy. I think it definitely makes the most rounded policy, and we need more voices in the conversation would be my takeaway.
Sure.
Any last thing you want to leave our listeners with, just in terms of what NAR is focused on MLS policy-wise?
I think your last point's a really good one in terms of the voices that we need involved, because we've got folks who spend a lot of time and effort working on these things. We need more and more technology input and broker input.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of companies who are the technology vendors who can sit in these meetings and provide real value in terms of technical implementation, which is not, again, what NAR does, but it will affect the process
it
of
still
how
matters.
Things... Absolutely.
Right.
And if we can get a broader group of brokers and technology companies and MLSs all involved in that conversation, we end up coming up with great solutions, as we have in some cases over the past couple of years with a much broader group of people in that decision-making process.
Will you bring a few to the table? I'll bring a few from Austin.
We will try.
And we'll see if we can't make better decisions this year. Thanks so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Emily.
Hey, team. Let's make this a thing. If you like what you heard today, share this episode on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and tag me at M. Chenevere. That's E.M. Chenevere. You can also subscribe to Scratch That on SoundCloud and iTunes, and grab show notes at abor.com/scratchthat. Thanks for joining me today. Now let's go get some stuff done out there.